This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Clifford May, president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on this, the 62nd anniversary of Israeli independence, what in fact the situation is right now for Israel regarding its relationship with the United States, the impending threat of a nuclear Iran, and of course, the prospects, if there are any, for Middle East peace. And Cliff, thanks so much as always for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Well, of course, one of the things that we've seen pretty clearly over the past few months, especially, but really since the dawn of the Obama administration, is a different tone, a different posture from the U.S. administration towards Israel. It was clear from Prime Minister Netanyahu's visit here to Washington that he and President Obama are not all that close. They clearly don't see eye to eye on some of the latest construction projects authorized by the Israeli government. How would you characterize the relationship, and what would your advice be to President Obama?
Gosh, I would characterize the relationship as in crisis, and I suspect it's going to get worse over the next 3 years. I think that we're seeing from President Obama a very different attitude towards Israel, although not just towards Israel, but towards other allies. If you think of the posture towards Honduras, which when it tried to get rid of a president who was violating the Constitution and sought to be a dictator and was an ally of Hugo Chavez, we took the wrong side. We took the Chavez side on that. We've undercut the Czech Republic and Poland by promising them missile defense, and then in response to Russia saying no. I mean, I think it used to be that the America's view and image in the world was no better friend and no worse enemy. And I'm not sure we aren't the reverse. We're not a very reliable friend. And as an enemy, we're fairly harmless. If you think about Iran and what it's up to, and North Korea and what it's up to, and Venezuela and what it's up to, and there we have outreach. And with countries like Israel, well, that's where we're getting tough, and it's very puzzling.
Cliff, you may have some who say, well, look, there's this dispute over new construction. Some say there are new settlements on the West Bank. The Israelis say they're in Jerusalem. Okay, there's that disagreement. But what else is going on? What have you seen, whether in formal policy or just the attitude of this administration, that concerns you?
Well, let's just go over this very quickly, because I think it's an excuse for the breakdown in relations, not the reason. All you have here is zoning in a part of Jerusalem, North Jerusalem, a Jewish neighborhood for decades. And because there are a lot of religious Jews there who tend to have big families, it's getting crowded, so they need denser housing. If they don't have denser housing, the only other possibilities are either for the neighborhood to sprawl, which might put it into Arab neighborhoods. There are Arab neighborhoods, many of them in Jerusalem, under Israeli authority. You probably don't want that. Or you can tell people there, you know what, you better move to Brooklyn or something because there's no room for you here. What can you do? Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, agreed that he wasn't going to build any housing in a lot of disputed territories that he may think he has a right to build in, such as Judea. Judea, as the name implies, used to be home to a lot of Jews. He's willing to say, I'll give this up to the Palestinians, but not Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel. The Congress of the U.S. has several times referred to it as the undivided capital of Israel. It's the place where religious shrines, Christian, Jewish, Muslim alike, are well protected by the Israelis. And keep in mind that before 1967, when a war was launched to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, Jordan held these parts of East Jerusalem, if you will, and Jordan ethnically cleansed them and destroyed all the Jewish religious sites there, taking cemeteries and using the headstones for roads and for toilets. People somehow managed to forget or neglect that. But I don't think that's really what this is about. And what I don't understand is why Obama doesn't focus on the fact that since he came to office, no Palestinian leader is willing to sit down and negotiate with Israelis face to face. They always did prior to his arrival. I think they're not, because they expect him to deliver a lot of concessions from the Israelis without them having to bother to negotiate. Nor has this administration been nearly as upset as they have been over zoning regulations in North Jerusalem, as over the fact that both Hamas and Fatah are continuing to incite terrorism and to celebrate terrorism in the West Bank, not Gaza where Hamas rules, but the West Bank. They've been naming squares for notorious terrorists who have killed men, women, and children, Americans as well as Israelis. And this doesn't seem to elicit very much. And in the mosques and the media, including in the West Bank, you still have them talking about killing all the Jews. I don't understand why Obama thinks that by putting the pressure on Israel and not asking the Palestinians to stop the incitement to terrorism, stop celebrating terrorism, get back to the negotiating table, why he thinks this is fruitful. I don't think it is.
Obviously, the U.S. is critical for Israel in terms of military means as well as financing foreign aid. So just how defiant can Netanyahu get towards the U.S.?
Well, look, I think at the end of the day, Israel is and must see itself as a sovereign country. And while it would love to have the United States backing it up, if it doesn't, it has to go on its own. It can't rely, particularly on an administration like this one, for its own security. It has to, at the end of the day, it's responsible for its own survival. At a time when you've got Hamas on one border and Hamas openly and repeatedly says its goal is to exterminate Israel. Theologically, Hamas believes that there cannot be a state in the Middle East ruled by infidels. And Fatah, people think, is more secular and liberal. Maybe it is a little bit, but not enough. And what's more, if Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, were tomorrow to do what Sadat did, which is to shake hands with the Israelis and say, we've got a deal, we've got a bargain, the conflict is over, Abbas would face the same fate that Sadat faced. Sadat was assassinated by militant Islamists. The group that killed him was led by Ayman al-Zawahiri. Ayman al-Zawahiri is alive and well and living, along with Osama bin Laden, as a leader of al-Qaeda in western Pakistan right now. We need to connect these dots.
Cliff, the last couple of weeks, we've basically been taking part in nuclear Iran bingo, it seems like. There's a different estimation as to when they're going to have a deployable nuclear weapon. Last week at the summit, it was about a year. Now it's 5 years. Some say it's somewhere in between. What do we know for sure, and how does that uncertainty impact how it's dealt with?
We don't know anything for certain. The Israelis will make their own estimates, and they will try to figure out what they need to do about it. I believe the Israelis have come to the conclusion that a nuclear-powered jihadist and genocidal Iran is something they cannot live with in the Middle East. It would be dreadful for the U.S. as well. Iran, under a leadership, under rulers who promise one day there will be a world without America, would become the hegemon, the colossus of the Middle East. They already have Syria as a client state. They already are the prime patron for Hamas and for Hezbollah, which is on another of Israel's borders. You're already seeing various accommodations being made to the Iranian rulers, not least by Karzai in Afghanistan. People figure if America's not going to stand up to Iran, we better make our deals as soon as we can with Iran. So I think Israel is going to make its own timetable and try to figure out what it can do. And it's not going to be easy, especially since I think at this point, the Israelis believe that the administration in Washington is not one they can rely on, that when Obama and Hillary Clinton say nuclear Iran is unacceptable, that doesn't mean it's unacceptable. That means they'll accept it in time and then talk about containing it. But if you're not going to challenge a non-nuclear Iran, why would you challenge a nuclear Iran with its terrorist proxies in dozens of countries around the world?
Cliff, sounds like you and I will be talking about a lot of things before the 63rd anniversary of Israeli independence. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Clifford May, President of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.